Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to this week's broadcast from River of Life Fellowship Church in Copenhagen, New York. This week, guest speaker Jill Misick shares with us part three of a series titled Dirty Words, this one being the word obey.
Lord, I just thank you again for this opportunity to share your word. What a privilege and honor that is, and I know nobody in this pulpit takes that honor lightly, God. It is a heavy responsibility, and we don't take it lightly, God. And I just pray that the words I speak today will be your words, and that I will bring you glory and honor in everything I say up here. And I also just pray for everyone that's here hearing this word, that you would open their hearts and minds to receive the word from you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you. As you can see from the title slide, Dirty Word Series Part 3, maybe you guys don't know there was a Part 1 and 2, and that's okay, but they would be on our YouTube page or our Facebook page if you wanted to go check those out. So in the past, I shared about the word submission and whether that was a dirty word and the word no, and then today we're going to look at the word obey. What I mean by dirty word is generally if you hear the word obey, the first things that come to your mind is probably more of a negative connotation. You might not necessarily be thinking that that's a positive thing. Unless you're a parent talking to your child, you might think that's pretty positive. But generally it's a negatively connotated word in our society today. So today I want to look at obey and see if we can break that down a little bit and see if we can find a positive connotation for that. So I'm going to just start right out, like if we're talking about a word, well, we need to know what this word, agree on what this word means. So the Merriam-Webster defines obey as to follow the commands or guidance of, to conform or comply with. And then Cambridge Dictionary defines obey as to act according to what you have been asked or ordered to do by someone in authority or to behave according to a rule, law, or instruction. And I went a little further onto Bible Hub to look up the Greek word, not to make it look like I'm really smart, because I've been practicing this word a lot to try to say it, and I still don't know if it's right. Greek word to obey is hupakouo, maybe, and it means to hear under as a subordinate, for example, to listen attentively, which you are all doing wonderfully right now, and by implication, to heed or conform to a command or authority. So there's a few key words in some of these definitions that I'll be touching on as we talk today. Conform or complying with, the idea of authority, following a rule, law, or instruction. These are all important words in these definitions. But I'd like to start by looking at these words from two different angles. We already mentioned like a worldly standpoint. Let's start by looking there, and then we'll move into the godly or biblical standpoint. So obedience itself, if you're looking at it from a worldly standpoint, can seem forced and the attitude behind it more of one of compulsion or compliance. We might call this like a forced obedience, as you see in the comply within the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition. And when I'm thinking of that type of obedience, I think of, for those of you that are in the classroom, you have a young kid and they're constantly out of their seat and moving around, and you keep telling this kid, you need to sit down. So the kid finally sits down, and then he says to the teacher, well, I might be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. To me, that's more of forced compliance, you know, in that type of obedience. We generally find people obeying someone or something also because they feel like they have to, or they don't want the consequence they might face. So here I think of any of us when we're trying to obey the speed limit. We might be driving down, zooming down into town, or on 81, we see a police officer's car. What do we do immediately? Well, me anyway. Take your foot off the gas, look down, how fast am I going? Why? Because you don't want to get pulled over, you don't want a speeding ticket. So again, that's like, okay, am I obeying only when somebody's watching, or am I obeying all the time? So it's kind of the attitude there is more like, if someone's watching, maybe my behavior is going to be a little different. So in our world, people can also be very hypocritical about obeying. They're going to demand obedience from you, but they're not necessarily going to obey you back. It's more of a one-sided thing, more of a selfish thing, one direction. They hold others to a standard they're not holding themselves to. Or what about those who see just how close they can get to the line of obeying, uh, of obeying without being disobedient. And in this situation, I think about the guy that is questioning Jesus, and he says, who is my neighbor, when he's trying to justify himself? If you're not familiar with that, that's in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 29, if you want to check that out later. But again, it's just trying to find how close can I get without actually disobeying. So in a worldly aspect, then, we look at obedience. We expect our pets to do it. We expect other people to do it. But we don't necessarily hold ourselves to that standard. So already you can see from a worldly standpoint that this is not necessarily a positive word. But let's shift gears a little bit and look at the flip side. Let's look at what the biblical or godly standard of obeying looks like. So when I looked up the Bible Hub Greek word definition, it also gave a little more information there, a historical background narrative, and it reads, in the first century Mediterranean world, I believe that's the Greek word for obey, commonly described compliance to a superior, whether a master, father, magistrate, or deity. Its New Testament adoption infuses that cultural expectation with covenantal depth. Obedience becomes the hallmark of genuine covenant allegiance to Christ, surpassing all earthly hierarchies. Now, I found that last sentence to kind of strike me. Obedience becomes the hallmark of genuine allegiance to Christ, surpassing all earthly hierarchies. So if we're being obedient to Christ, then that's the higher standard than even our worldly authorities. And then an immediate example that popped into my head for this one was found in Acts chapter 4. Verses 1 through 22, when Peter and John, Jesus had already ascended, and Peter and John are going around and they're preaching the word, preaching what they'd seen and heard. And they get arrested by the religious leaders for speaking in the name of Jesus and healing a lame beggar. The religious leaders didn't like that. And so they instructed Peter and John after investigating a little bit, and they said, don't do this anymore. You're no longer allowed to go speak in this name. And I'm going to read right here from my notes on this because I don't want to misquote it, but I love that what their answer was. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. I love that. They were so moved by their experience with Jesus that they couldn't help but speak of what they'd seen and heard. They must obey God over man. And I love that example. So as you can see from a godly standpoint, just in this little bit of an introduction here, obedience is a little bit different. It's more of a willful obedience because of love. Peter and John had experienced Jesus, and how could they not speak and of what they had seen and heard? I would say that their obedience was a love response. So I'd like to spend the rest of this morning just kind of unpacking a little bit by what I mean about obedience being a love response. So if you're saying, well, a love response to who? Who do you obey? Who are you supposed to be obedient to? Well, let's start with, are you God's child? Now, if you're here last week, Jay did a great job talking about how to know if you're a child of God. If you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to go back to our YouTube channel, our Facebook channel, and watch that message. Jay really laid out a really good sermon on the basics of our faith and how to be a child of God. So let's jump ahead and say, if you call yourself a child of God, then you're called to obey God, and he is now your ultimate authority. So now I want to make a connection between God, our heavenly Father, and us as his children. So let's look at the parent-child relationship, because I believe that's a reflection of our relationship with God the Father. In a healthy parent-child relationship, and I understand not all of these relationships are healthy. I did used to work for social services in the past, and I do know that sometimes things aren't the ideal, of course. But in a healthy parent-child relationship, generally, children want to please their parents because it's the right thing to do, and they want to show their love that way. And parents generally want what's best for their children because that's what a love relationship is like. You want what's best for the other person. So Colossians 3:20 says, and this is a favorite, I'm sure, of all you kids in here, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, I remember many times my parents would tell me something to do something, and most of the time I would do it as a youngster, right? I wanted to please them. And this is certainly to say that I did not always please do what my parents told me to do. I am thankful they're not here today, or my older sister to be able to tell you the many, many times I disobeyed. So, but in all seriousness, no, there was a time in my life that I was outwardly rebellious to God and to my parents. And I knew, though, even in that outward rebellion, I knew that it was wrong. I knew that it wasn't the right thing to do to disobey my parents and to disobey God like that. But I just chose not to obey. Now, when we became parents, I learned what it was like to be on the other side of that relationship. And now I wanted what was best for my kids. because I love them, right? And that meant instructing them, giving them commands to follow. That do this, don't do that. I wanted them to obey me because I love them and I wanted what's best for them. Now, here's a good one for parents. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children in anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And of course, this isn't just saying that fathers are the ones to bring up your children. This implies parents, just to be clear on that. But the Bible instructs parents to train their children in his ways. And maybe you remember this, Courtney. Derek's not here today, but there were so many times when they were kids and we would just, you know, we'd try to give them instruction and they'd be bucking that a little bit. And sometimes we'd get to the point, even after sort of explaining it to them, and just be like, just obey. So just obey. It became kind of a thing for us. Just obey. And could have put that on the sign out there, huh? So, but to their credit, most of the time our kids were pretty obedient. So again, if there's stories, save them from another time. So children's obedience is a love response to their parents. And this is a bit of a sidestep on this. I just want to speak to parents to please discipline your children. I know that's not what the world would tell you is the right thing to do, but if you read God's word, it's clear that he wants us to do that. Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. It's a loving thing to discipline your child, okay? So a little bit of a sidestep there, but I just wanted to encourage all the parents out there. It's loving and it's right to provide discipline and healthy boundaries for your kids. So when we look again at this healthy parent-child relationship, is it not the same with our Heavenly Father when we call him, when we call ourselves his children? Is it not the same that he would now be our father, right? So if obedience is a love response, let's take the next step and say, where does this love start? Well, as Jay explained last week, it starts with the Father. It starts with God. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Now, I want us to take a little step back and kind of get back to the fundamentals of where are we starting first. So as a good coach, any good coach is going to go back to the fundamentals, okay? So without fundamentals, it's really hard to continue to get better in your skills. So I just want to talk about a time when I was training goalkeepers. I've been an assistant soccer coach at Copenhagen for quite some time. I'm taking a little break now. But each summer I would do a goalkeeper training camp because I'd work with the soccer teams. It would be the modified through the varsity, 7th through 12th grade. But every year my curriculum would be pretty much the same. We'd be covering the same techniques. Why? Because without that fundamental technique, you can't continue to get better. So whether it was your first year, and it's kind of funny, I see Chad back there, I see Tyler over here, and Mackenzie Howard is back at school, but there are some goalkeepers I got the privilege to train here in the church, so that's really cool. But the first, you guys remember your first year at training, whether it's your first year or your sixth year, it was pretty much the same curriculum. First year felt extremely awkward. You would just feel sloppy, and it just wouldn't feel right because you're learning these new techniques, the best way to move your body, to make the save depending on the type of situation, shot. But by your fifth, sixth year, like it's become second nature to you. You don't even really have to think about it because we keep coming back to the fundamentals. We keep perfecting those so that we can reach our potential in those skills. And it would be the same whether we're talking about soccer or goalkeeping or any other sport. So, but with that being said, in our faith as Christians, we have to come back to the fundamentals. So coming back to the gospel message is important because we need to remember that where we're building our, what is our foundation? What are we building on? We love because he first loved us, right? So just going to take a minute to just share a little bit of the gospel message with you guys, just a little bit of a recap. God created everything, including mankind, to be perfect. And then mankind sinned and against God. And then God instituted a penalty for that sin, and that's death. Then God made a way for mankind's redemption, and he revealed it to his prophets. And then the prophets foretold of Jesus the Messiah, his coming, his birth, his death, his resurrection. Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. And then Jesus instructed his followers to go in all the world to teach and to baptize in his name. And in the end of time, Jesus is going to come back, or earthly time, Jesus is going to come back for his church, for his children, for his beloved, for those who repent and believe in him, as Jay talked about last week. And those will live eternally with him. Those who choose not to repent and believe in who Jesus Christ is will be separated from God forever in hell and for eternity. And I wanted to just remind us of that gospel message because that is the fundamentals of our faith. And this is what love looks like. I've heard it said before that God gave us a choice. We can pay the penalty for our own sin, or Jesus can. And I just think that's what love looks like. John 3:16 reminds us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Again, we see God's love for us. And we see it in Romans 5:8. "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And 1 John 2:1-2 reads, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins for the whole world." So what is our response to the gospel message? Well, we have a choice. We can accept it or we can reject it. If we accept it, we then become his children. And then we're back to that loving relationship with our Heavenly Father I was mentioning earlier. So our response in that relationship to our Heavenly Father is to show him love. So the next question would be, how do we love God? Well, 1 John 5:3 says, "Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." And this is kind of the attitude of we get to. It's not that we have to, because we know we don't follow his commands to earn his love. He already showed his love to us. So we follow his commands as an outpouring of our love to him. So if loving God means obeying his commandments, what are some of his commandments and what does that look like to obey them? So I'll start with a few examples from scripture of this commandments. We'll start with something that's pretty common for probably a lot of people, whether they're regular churchgoers or not, and that's the Ten Commandments. You might be flipping through your channel around Easter time on TV, and you might come across the Ten Commandments movie with, is it Charlton Heston? Yeah. So some of you might remember or know what I'm talking about. But point being, even if you're not a regular churchgoer, maybe you're familiar with the Ten Commandments. And those were given to the Israelites through Moses on Mount Sinai by God. And you can find them in Scripture in Exodus 20, and you can also find them in Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Today, I'm just going to read from the slide a kind of a paraphrased version just for time's sake. So, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. And you shall not covet." Like I said, many people are aware of these commandments. And again, they're not given to us to earn God's favor, but they're for our benefit. We get to follow these. And I've heard it said before, it's kind of neat. I've heard it said that the first three or four have to do with our relationship with God. And then the final ones have to do with our relationship with others. So it kind of gives us a nice moral code for how we're to relate to God and to others. Again, our attitude with these should that be that we get to because they're for our benefit, and it's our love response to follow these. And I was just thinking kind of a simple example of a time in my life where had the opportunity to obey these commandments was I ordered something online, and I received the item, and there's actually two there, but I'd only ordered one, only paid for one. Second one showed up. Now, it seems like kind of a simple thing, right? Like most people are probably like, lucky me, lucky day, I got something extra. But I knew the Ten Commandments, and there was something about not saying something that made it feel to me like I was either lying or stealing or both. So, I mean, again, it doesn't seem like a big thing, but in my heart, I knew it was the wrong to not do something about it. So I did call the company, and I did tell them of their mistake, and you know, that turned out actually really well. They're like, oh, you know, don't worry about it. Thanks for letting us know. That's our mistake. Sorry about that. Just keep it. No extra charge. So that actually worked out pretty well. Now, could I have just kept that and it really wouldn't have been a big deal? You may have, but honestly, my conscience, like I said, it made it feel to me like that would be stealing and it was wrong. So I feel like that it was the right thing to do to just let the company know, and then wherever it fell, then so be it. And that's sort of an example of easy obedience in the fact that, you know, I was honest about that and I saw the immediate fruit of it, and it was actually kind of a rewarding thing for me. So that's an example of what maybe you would consider easy obedience. I saw the fruit of my obedience immediately, and it was a positive result. I was rewarded for my honesty. But keep in mind, obviously not following all these commands may not always be easy. But that is, you know, that's to be expected. Another commandment we find in Scripture, I just want to give you another example, would be found in Matthew 22, 36 through 39, and this is often referred to as the greatest commandment. And this reads, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, when you, I think too, that is a good summation of the Ten Commandments. But also, when I think of this commandment, the thing that comes to mind is our Helping Hands ministry as an example of fulfilling this command. If you're not familiar with Helping Hands, it's a ministry that Jay and I organize, where if there's needs in the community, people can bring that need to us or in the church. And we assess whether or not that's something that we could help with. And we have a list of volunteers of people in the congregation that say, hey, if you ever have a need come up, we'd like to be able to help in these ways. And so that's we have an ongoing list of that. And so that's a ministry where we get to be the practical, show the practical love of Jesus by being God's hands and feet to someone in need. So I feel like that's loving God and loving our neighbor in that ministry. And the attitude of this ministry and the people that volunteer to help us with that is willful and joyful, loving obedience to God. And I think a really neat example of this is one time we had a situation where there was a man who had some sickness that started happening with him. He couldn't quite figure it out, and he was in the middle of renovating his house for his growing family. It was, I think, in the summer, so like his lawn had gotten out of control. I mean, like weeds this tall. The deck needed to be stained. I tried to get these things buttoned up before winter. And so the need was brought to Jay and I, and we were able to, I think, did you say like 40 people came to that one? This was several years ago. So we had like 40 people show up to help this man and his family. And the neat kind of thing was the homeowner spoke to Jay at some point during it. It was like, wow, I'm blown away. I don't get it. I only know a handful of these people, and like 40 people are here. They don't even know me, and they're doing miserable, like hard jobs, and they're doing it with a good attitude. They look like they're having fun. And he's like, I don't get it. He goes, but I guess your church does what other churches just talk about. So it's putting action to what we believe, right? And another kind of neat thing is one time Jay had a call from someone in the community. He's, to my knowledge, not a churchgoer, but the conversation started out with, hey, Jay, this is so-and-so. Do you go to that church that helps people? Which Jay's like, well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that, but turns out, yes, that he had heard about the Helping Hands ministry and was calling for a coworker that was in need. So those are good examples of loving God and while loving your neighbor that just immediately came to mind. And I know there's many, many ministries in this church that accomplish that command, that are loving God while loving others. You know, I think of our food pantry, I think of our kids' church and all the effort that goes into back there, our hospitality committee, there's the worship team. I mean, pretty much every ministry in the church is accomplishing that command. And beyond that, I'm hoping that outside of Sunday morning, on an individual basis, you guys are out there and you're loving God and loving your neighbor and how whatever that looks like, whether it means checking on an elderly neighbor or making a meal for someone or just, you know, it can look like a million different things. So, and sometimes even with that ministry or following that command, sometimes that's an easy obedience, meaning we see fruit right away, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes we invest a lot of time, energy, and resources to really not see any immediate fruit from that. And that's okay. It's not about the fruit, it's about the obedience. So the next command that I want to talk about is what I would consider in the hard obedience category. It's found in Luke chapter 6, 27 through 28. And it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you." That's not an easy command. But I have to ask myself, do I love God? Do I trust him? Then I cannot pick and choose the commands of his out of his word that I'm going to follow. Just like a loving parent, he has reasons for his commands that he gives to us. And as children, we may not always understand why our parents are asking us to do the things we're doing, but we trust that they have a reason why. It's not our job to understand, it's our job to obey. Just obey. So another example that I was trying to think of a situation where we're trying to show love to someone that's not easy to show love to. There's some in the Bible, of course, but there's also us, Jay and I were talking about this, we're trying to think of some real life applications of this, loving your neighbor, and that like the help of hands ones, there seems to be like a lot of those examples that come right to mind, or following the Ten Commandments. Can think of a lot of easy examples of that, but loving your enemy is a little bit harder to find real life examples for, and that's probably because it's hard to do. So a situation that Jay and I had over the winter, it was something that came to mind. We had an opportunity to show love and kindness to someone who is not easy to love. Much like the scriptures referencing here. And Jay's had many interactions with this man at his job, and these were never pleasant interactions or positive. This man is not pleasant to deal with. He's just, as Jay would say, he's just not a nice guy. So Jay had an interaction at work with this guy this winter. Like previously, it didn't go well. But it came obvious to Jay through this interaction that this guy was going to need some seasoned firewood that the weekend that was coming up. And because of this man's poor choices, he was not able to get that wood himself. So after Jay finished his shift the next morning, I think you said you woke up and you knew, I got to take this guy some wood. Oh, I don't want to do that. he told me about it, and he just knew we were supposed to do it. And I'll be honest, I wasn't super excited about the idea. Do you remember this past winter? It was really cold. It was a lot of snow. We have wood pellets at our house, so we don't have seasoned firewood easily accessible to us. So there was a lot of reasons to be like, eh. He tried getting in touch with the guy, couldn't get through to him for whatever reason. The phone wasn't connecting. We just couldn't get a hold of him. But we just knew, like, it was one of those things. I think sometimes when you know God's putting something in your mind or heart to do, you just can't let it go. So we ended up doing it hesitantly, but again, knowing in our heart it's the right thing to do. If God's telling us to do this, we need to obey. To be honest, I was a little nervous, like, this could not go well. I just don't know. But again, we walked this out in obedience. So very, very long story. I'm going to try to make it a little bit short for you guys. We found some seasoned firewood. We loaded up the back of our truck. And I think it was below zero. I think before the night was through, it was 9 below before we were able to actually be done with this obedience. We drove a long way to find his house. He has more than one property, so it was a little difficult finding exactly where we were supposed to take this wood to. It was in the middle of nowhere, no cell service. It was getting dark by the time all was said and done. We also had a prior engagement that day. We were supposed to be meeting friends for dinner, and when it was all said and done, we were hours late for that engagement. So as you can see, like, there was a lot of reasons that we could have made excuses not to be obedient here. When we finally found we're the right place, thanks to a neighbor, the guy wasn't there. We decided to throw the wood off because he needs it, and we're sure we're in the right place at this point, so we left the wood. And then we got back into cell service. We tried again for like the fourth or fifth time that day to try to get a hold of him, and he answered. Conversation was very unpleasant as usual. Jay identified who he was, and then he explained why, what we did and why, and we were met with silence for a few very long seconds. And then I'm thinking, oh boy, where's this going to go next? Are we going to be in trouble? I don't know. So after that silence, the guy just said, thank you. Click. Abruptly hung up. Okay, well, that was better than I thought. But unfortunately, that was the last conversation Jay had with this man. He unexpectedly has died since this event. So we will actually never know if there was anything positive from that act of obedience. We're probably never going to know in this situation. That might be the case for you guys. There might be some times you won't know, and it'll be hard, and you won't know. But for us, we knew it was the right thing to do, and if there was any chance that this act of kindness could soften his heart toward God, it was worth it. Gives me a little bit of goosebumps even just thinking about that, because none of our obedience is about us. It's a love response to God. This was definitely a difficult obedience because it cost us something. We didn't profit from it. We're never probably going to see the fruit of that, except maybe one day in heaven we'll see. But we obey God's commands because we love him. And then also to remember in obeying, it's not about the desired result. Like sometimes we get hung up on that. Results of our obedience is irrelevant. Like I mentioned earlier, we don't have to understand the whys. We just have to obey. And we obey regardless because doing so shows God that we love him. I gave you a few examples here today of commands from his word, but I always like having my Bible with me. I have several Bibles. This is the easy to carry one, which you can tell is pretty beat up, but this is God's word. It's full of commands. And I encourage you, as every time I think I've been up here, I encourage you, please read it. Please study it. Please try to understand it. If you're having trouble understanding it, connect with someone in the church who's a little more seasoned than you, and they can help you. But don't just give up because it's a little bit harder. You don't understand it. Take it a step further. Connect with someone who can help you because it's just really invaluable. And the time that Pastor George has taken to disciple Jay and I and Leah and Dan and Sandy and Abel and others, it's just been... It's just really been priceless to be able to grow in our understanding of the faith and to be able to stand up in front of you guys and share the gospel. Like, it just makes me again think of Peter and John. How could we not share what we've seen and heard? And that's just really encouraging to me. So I hope it encourages you as well. So I don't think that I can just end on such maybe a fluffy note, if you will. We need to talk about disobedience. What if we're not following God's commands? Well, check this out. I think I missed a slow. There we go. Yeah, that's all right. There you go, Jay. And a little issue over here, too. Okay. All right, check this out. I was in Luke chapter 6 earlier, so that threw me for just a second. Also in Luke chapter 6, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Ouch. Once we start reading his word and we start understanding what his commands are, we are not without excuse on this, right? Let's see what this continues to say. If we go on to verses 46 through 49, it says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them, the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We talked about fundamentals earlier, very much foundational gospel message, right? We've talked about that. So what is the consequence of disobedience? Ultimately, it's ruin. Belief and action have to go hand in hand. Well, if we believe something but we don't follow through other actions, you got to question, do you really believe it? So Jay and I have had this thing. We've been married 26 years at this point. And, you know, like any married couple, we have our ups and downs. And, you know, there's times that he'll say, well, I love you, and maybe things are, we're not in a great place. And I'll say, well, show me. You know, so in other words, like, yes, I need to hear that you love me, but I need you to put that love into action. I need you to do those things that show me love. That's what I need to see, are your action and your belief matching. They go hand in hand. And I think that's the same with us. If we say that we love him, oh, I'm going to love myself. 1 John 2:4 says, if anyone says I know him but does not keep his commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. If I call myself God's child and I don't obey his commands, I'm a liar. That's kind of heavy, right? That's a little sobering. We can fool ourselves, but for how long, right? James 4:17 says, whoever knows what he must do and doesn't do it sins. If we go back to we knew we were supposed to take that guy wood. If we didn't do it, would anybody know? No. But that would have been sinning because it was something we knew that we were supposed to do. And then I think of Jonah. I think, Sandy, you might have mentioned Jonah. Jonah's a book in the Bible, and he was a prophet. God had spoken to him about going to Nineveh and preaching repentance. And Jonah didn't like those people. He didn't really want to see them repent, so he didn't want to do it, and he went the other way. And he went to Tarshish. Did I say that right? I practiced that one too. Instead, and he faced some very dire consequences. He ended up getting thrown into a stormy sea and swallowed by a big fish and got vomited up on the land after 3 days. Now, that's not a consequence that I want to face. As much as some of these things cost us, you know, it could be, yeah, we don't want to face those kinds of consequences. And worse yet, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 reads, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. So a consequence of not obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is suffering eternal destruction. There is no consequence worse than that. These are some very serious consequences to disobedience. So if we call ourselves children of God, we will obey him. And if we don't obey him, you've got to question, do I really love him? That's pretty sobering. Obedience is a love response. So with all that being said, when we've looked at more of a biblical side of obeying, do you still think obey is a dirty word? I hope you're seeing it as a love response to God who loved us first. So let's do a little self-reflection. Jay and I always like we like to put action to stuff. So let's do a little self-reflection. Do you understand what it means to obey? We covered that right in the beginning. If so, who are you obeying? Is it God? Is it some sort of worldly authority? Is it yourself? And if it's God, how are you obeying him? Are you following his commands? Are there commands that he's asked you to follow that you've disregarded, that you're disobeying? Are you being disobedient? I would say repent. Turn from your sin. Ask for forgiveness. Ask Holy Spirit to help you to obey God's commands so that when we stand before him, he doesn't say to you, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Wouldn't you much rather hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Godly obedience is good. And obedient, because of that obedience is a love response. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word, God. And I pray that again that my words have been your words, Lord. And I pray that if there's things that people needed to hear, that they wouldn't walk out of here today without praying and asking for you to help them. Whether it's obedience, whether it's being your child, whether it's disobedience, Lord. I pray for repentance and forgiveness for everybody that needs that here today. Lord, we thank you for the service, for the worship, for this word. And we do pray that you would continue to be with George and Samantha during their sabbatical, Lord. Thank you for helping Samantha to heal and work through this process, God. And we just pray that George is going to come back to us refreshed and refocused, Lord. And we do look forward to having our pastor back in the pulpit, Lord. We just thank you so much for him and all the work that he does to share the gospel and to disciple those. So, Lord, we just pray you be with each one as we go about our day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're glad you could be here. If you'd like to see or hear more, watch our service live on Facebook, YouTube, or visit our website at www.riveroflifechurch.org. We hope you have a great week.